Let's get into the word. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. It'll be on the screen for you. If you have a copy of the scriptures, I invite you to turn there, click there, open there, whatever you got to do. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. How many of you know that when Jesus instructs, it's good just to obey? I should amen better than that. They didn't negotiate like we do. They didn't want three steps. They just went. And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches, they cut palm branches, that's where we get the name of the day, from the trees, and they spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The third characteristic we're going to talk about Jesus in this series, and the final one, is the Jesus who seeks. The Jesus who seeks. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We open our hearts and minds, and we ask that you speak to us. We haven't come just to do church, but that our lives may be transformed. And we pray this in your mighty name. Everybody said, big amen. 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 How many of you willfully will admit you're in church, so don't lie? You ever wonder why people say that? Don't lie in church. It's okay if you're in your house. No, it's not. How many of you will willfully admit you lose things? You have a habit of losing things? How many? Okay, a few of you. Good. I'm in good company. I don't lose things on a regular basis, although I did put an Apple AirTag in my backpack. Come on, somebody. Some of you need some Apple AirTags. You're like, what is that? Google it. You'll thank your pastor later. But I happen to leave things when I travel. I'm notorious for leaving things when I travel. I don't know how many phone chargers I've left behind at hotels. Anybody else? No, just me? Okay. I left something this week. I was in a hotel this week, and I had an electric shaver. I got it out of my toiletry bag. I put it on the bottom shelf, the second shelf in the bathroom, and bought a new one last night. So I could shave before church today. I don't know how many packs of AirPods I've left on planes. If you've ever flown on Delta after me, God bless you. You're welcome. You probably gave you some AirPods. But I did leave one time, Tammy and I, with some of our friends, we went to see a Cubs game in Chicago. I've got a friend that has season tickets. How many of you know, you don't need a boat, you need a friend with a boat. You don't need season tickets? You need a friend with season tickets. Can I get a better amen? So I got a friend with season tickets, and so he gifted us, and we went up and saw a Cubs game, and we bought two Cubs hats. You know, Tammy got one out, I got one for the game, and we did the whole thing, toured the stadium, the whole deal, and we're on the way back, and I got the gift bag with the hats in them, and I wanted to keep my sunglasses with me, so I put them in the bag, and I put it under the seat in front of me like you're supposed to. And got off the plane, and I'm walking through Reagan National up in D.C., and I get to the top of the escalator to go down to baggage claim, and it hits me. I've left my glasses and the hats on the plane. These were really nice. They were a great gift. Are y'all with me? Like, really nice sunglasses. And I really liked them a lot. And so immediately, whenever I realized it, I looked at my friends. Tammy wasn't with us, thank God, because she gets on to me about losing things in planes and hotels. I was like, I left my sunglasses. And so I run back to the gate agent. This is late at night. I run back to the gate agent, and she's like, no, you know, you can't go back through the door. I don't know why. I was just on there. It's not like I turned into a robber, like, between the bathroom and there, but anyways, you can't go back down that. She's like, you got to go down to baggage area. And so I went down to the baggage area, and there's a little office kind of thing where you can go and And so I went in there and I was like, listen, I told the whole story. It's a brown bag. It's under seat number. And it has two hats. They're Cubs hats. And it has a pair of really nice sunglasses in it that are mine. And they go, okay, we'll send someone up to go get them. And they come back down and they were like, the plane had already left the gate. To which I'm like, liar, liar, pants on fire. In my head, I'm thinking, you just got some new sunglasses and two Cubs hats. Because I know how long it takes you to get my baggage to me, and it's 45 minutes, and plane has not left the gate. But whenever I realized, like, I went to the gate agent, I went to the Delta representative, I went over, why? Because of this. Because the higher the value of what is lost, the higher the intensity of the search. AirPods, I've never done that for. Why? Because Apple gives me some wired air thing, you know, wired air, what are they called? Headphones. I can just plug them in my phone and they're not wireless, but I don't care because I got another option. Are y'all tracking with me? How many of you ever lost a wedding band? Especially if it is an engagement ring with diamonds on that thing. Are y'all following me? The higher the value, are y'all tracking with me, of the item, the higher the intensity of the search. And I want to propose to you today that Palm Sunday and leading into Holy Week and Easter is all about this. Is that Jesus places a high value on souls. And so the intensity of the search was very high. That Jesus places a high value on humanity. That all of us, apart from Christ, are lost. This is the phrase of the Bible, we are lost in our trespasses and sins. In other words, we are far from God. We're separated from God. There was nothing that you and I could do to find our way back to God. No amount of good works, no amount of turning over a new leaf. None of that would give us back relationship with God. None of that would repair the damage that sin had done. And so God so valued humanity that he upped the level of the search and sent Jesus into the earth. And Jesus came into the earth on a rescue mission to rescue, to seek, and to save that which was lost. And I want to propose this to you today is that we have been invited to join him in this mission. That whenever we accepted Christ, we actually were commissioned into the family of God to get on the mission of Jesus, which is to seek and to save those who are far from God. I don't know your detailed assignment. I don't know what your job is to be. I don't know the will of God for your life, but I do know this as a part of the will of God. It's that you would be on the mission of Jesus to seek and to save those who are lost. Now I want to share with you three things that Jesus invites us to do. And then three whys. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. I want you to write these down if you're the note-taking type. If not, go ahead and write it down anyways. It'll help you. So three things that we're invited into, and we see it in the story of Palm Sunday in the book of Matthew we just read. Number one is this, is Jesus invites us to carry the message. He invites us to be carriers of the message of the good news that we don't have to live lost and broken and hopeless lives, but that we can find hope and it's found in the person of Jesus. But we're just the carriers of the message, we're not the message. I want us to get that straight today. You're not the message, you're just the carrier of the message. Like, take the pressure off of you. Some people put pressure on themselves and they're like, I've gotta get this person to Jesus. I've gotta help them get there. No. You're not the message. Let me say it this way, you're not the power unto salvation. Jesus is. You're just the carrier of the message. If we could go to Palm Sunday, you're not Jesus, you're the donkey. I would say, look at your neighbor and say, you're just the donkey. But I don't want anybody to get offended. And I grew up on the King James Version and they didn't use the word donkey, they used a different word. I'm definitely not gonna tell you to look at your neighbor and tell him you're just the other word for donkey. We're just carriers of the message. The donkey wasn't the star of the show that day. Jesus was the star of the show. All he did was carry the life-changing message into Jerusalem. You and I were carriers of the message. It's kind of odd that day because Jesus came in on a donkey and he didn't come in on a horse. No king, no warrior would ride into town on a donkey. But it shows the humility of Jesus. And that's the way that we're to carry the message. We're not supposed to be jerks for Jesus. Telling everybody that they're condemned and going to hell. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing how much we want to curse the darkness. I'd rather light a candle. But the Bible said, I'm a city set on a hill. I'm supposed to let my light so shine before men that they would see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. You can be a part of just cursing the problem, or you can be a part of the solution. And the solution is the person of Jesus Christ, and we're carriers of the message. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my, what's the next word? Come on, every campus, you'll be my. Okay, a little bit better than that. Come on, Richmond, you can do better. You will be my.
Witnesses.
You'll be my witnesses. What do witnesses do? They just tell what they've seen and heard. I'm just gonna describe what I've seen and what I've heard. You don't have to have all the answers to be the carrier of the message. You don't have to know what happened to the dinosaurs to be carrier of the message. Are y'all tracking with me? You just have to be able to describe what I've seen and what I've heard. I may not know all the answers to your questions, but I just know what I've seen. I've seen God restore a marriage, and I've seen God break an addiction, and I've seen him heal a sick body. This is just what I've seen and what I've heard. I'm just a witness of what I've seen, that I was lost in my own sin, and the love of God came and encountered me in one moment, forgave me and changed me. I'm just saying what I've seen and what I've heard, because I'm a carrier of the message. And some of you are thinking, man, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. I'm not outgoing. It's not my personality. You know what I have found is that we are all evangelists for the things we love. If I got you talking, I would find out real quick what you love. I could get you talking about the restaurant you like. I could get you talking about your shoe game. I could get, if you have one. Why? Because we all like to talk about what we love. Then if you love Jesus, why not talk about him? Why not talk about it? Maybe you're thinking, I don't know, let me give you two words. Two words, real easy. Invest, invite. Invest in what? Invest in relationship. I'm not asking you to do drive-by evangelism, window down the road, driving through your community. You're all going to hell. Come with me to Easter. May not be very effective. I'm all about effectiveness, what works. But here's what I do know is that you all have relationships you've invested in. It's your friend on the football team. It's your dorm mate. It's the person that's in the office next to you, it's the one you commute with. It's the neighbor in the cul-de-sac. You all have relationships that you've invested in. And where you have invested, extend an invitation. Do you know studies show that more than 70% of people at Easter and at Christmas would accept an invitation to church if somebody would ask them? And the overwhelming response of the survey by Barna was that no one asked them. The higher the value of the lost item, the more intense we are in the search, or at least we should be. You invest in relationships and you invite them. You invite them to come with you. Well, Pastor, this culture is just an easily offended culture, and what if somebody gets offended? Have you ever found someone get offended when they're invited to the things you love? I mean, think about it. Have you ever been a part of sending out wedding invitations and get a response back that's like, how dare you invite me to your, I mean, unless it was like an ex-girlfriend or something, like that would be weird. No, why? Because when you get the invitation to the wedding, you feel honored. Why do you feel honored? Because they're inviting you into a moment that means so much to them. If Jesus means so much to us, then why wouldn't we invite people into the moments like the day we would celebrate his resurrection? Yeah. I wouldn't invite him with us. You're a carrier of the message. Number two, he invites us to carry it now. The world has never been changed by good intentions. And I think that's where a lot of us are. We have every intention. I had every intention to invite them. I had every intention to pray for them. I had every intention I had every intention at Christmas. I just didn't get around, you know, the schedule is so busy. We had every intention. I don't think it's necessarily ill will in our heart. I don't think we look at the friends in our life and be like, I hope you live life without God. I don't think that's who you are as a person. I just think we have intentions, but we never get around to it. But John chapter 9, verse 4 says that we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. In other words, you ever heard it say like this, that this is the opportunity of a lifetime, right? This investment, opportunity of a lifetime. You know, asking her out, opportunity of a lifetime. Can I tell you, there are also lifetimes to your opportunities? That not everything, not every window or door stays open forever. That you've got to strike when the iron is hot. That you've got to take the opportunity when it is in front of you. That not every opportunity lasts forever. And this is what I think Jesus is. Here's my prayer for you. And I think the prayer in the heart of the Father is that there be a little bit of urgency within us. That we would realize that the souls of human are more valuable than a wedding ring, and maybe the intensity of our search would be greater than that, than when we lost something that we can replace. But you cannot replace a soul. And so it's carry it now. Carry it now. Like you're in a perfect window of opportunity over the next few days to carry the message. To carry the message, to invest, to make an invitation, to extend an invite, but to do it now. May there be an urgency in our soul. May this not be something we check off the box of our religious practices and things that we do. No. That's not why Jesus came. We were enlisted into this adventure, into this mission of seeking and saving those who are far from God. You have been invited. I have been invited. And he says, carry it now. And I would say number three, carry it when Jesus says. Here's what I mean by that. He said, go get the donkey. And it says that the disciples did it right then. They did what he instructed them to do. And if I had to guess, if you're in here and you're a follower of Jesus, you know that nudging of the Holy Spirit when you're supposed to say something, when you're supposed to take that step, when you're supposed to extend that invitation. And so much inside of us, but we get all the reasons. I'll do it the next time, but I'm a little busy right now, or I've got to hurry right now. I can't do that. I got to get my Starbucks and run. I got to get my Chipotle and run. I can't do that right now. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is going, no, extend the invitation. No, say, do it when Jesus says. And all throughout this week, here's what I'm praying. You're plagued. It's a good pastoral prayer over your church. I am praying you are plagued with the voice of the Holy Spirit in all these interactions you have to go, yeah, extend that invite. Yeah, just say, will you come with me? Just ask if you'll come sit with me. And that something in you would not leave you alone until you say, hey, just come sit with me. Come with me. Come, I'll feed you afterwards. Whatever you got to do. Bribery is not a sin when you're bringing people to Jesus. It's a method. It's a tool. James chapter 1, what does he tell us in verse 22 through 25? He says, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourself. What's he saying? If you think hearing the word means that it actually is doing something in your life, you're deceived. It's like someone that looks in a mirror and then he goes away and doesn't do anything about it. So he says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. Take action on the word. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Take action on the word. Do it. Do it. So carry it when Jesus says. All right, so why? Why is this a big deal, Pastor? Let me give you three whys. I'm a big why person. I think if you don't know the why, you'll have a hard time doing the what. So what's the why? Well, number one, it's why Jesus came. This is the whole reason Jesus came into the earth. He didn't come to be a good moral person that would be a model for us to follow, although he was. He didn't come just to be a great teacher, although he was the most brilliant of teachers. But according to John, Luke 19:10, I'm sorry, says, for the Son of Man came to what? To seek and to save the lost. This is the whole reason Jesus came. He was on a rescue mission. He was coming to seek and he was coming to save the lost. And we have been invited into that. It's the whole reason that we exist. The church doesn't exist just to do good, although we should do good. The church just doesn't exist to teach and to develop, although we should be doing that. We have been commissioned by the Master to go and to seek and to save those who are lost. It's the whole reason that we're here. It's not so we can have a good feeling. It's not so we can have goosebumps when they sing that song that we like. No, it's that the gospel of Jesus, the good news, that those who are far from God and lost in their sin can find forgiveness, that there's no one that's outside the reach of the grace of God, and that Jesus can transform a life from the inside out, and his mercy is available to all humanity. It's why he came, and it's why we're here. I'd go beyond that, though, and say it's our responsibility. Maybe I should phrase it this way. It's your responsibility. As a follower of Jesus, it is your responsibility to do what? To be a witness. To be a witness of what you've seen and what you've heard. It's not our option. The Great Commission found in all four of the Gospels and in the book of Acts. You may recognize it as go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. That may be the one that Matthew 28 that you recognize. It's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's not the Great Commission for a certain category of people. It's not the Great Commission for outgoing, type A, driven, high personnel. No, it's for every believer. It's our responsibility. And not only that, number three, it's what the world needs. It is what the world needs. And so my question is this. It may not be that we don't have a desire issue. Because I think if I sat down with everyone in our church and said, do you desire for the people in your life to know the gospel of Jesus and to know his grace and his mercy? I think you would say yes. So it leads me to believe we have a value issue. Because if we valued people the way Jesus valued people, we would do everything we could to see them encounter the love of God. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is true. It says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, sin brought death. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So here's what that means. There's not anyone you encounter in any given day that isn't in need of a Savior. There's not any person that you encounter in any given day that isn't in need of a Savior. And guess what? You're God's plan A. There's no plan B. You're not the message, but you are the carrier. And there's no time like right now to carry this wonderful message of grace. And I just wonder if the value was higher, would the search be higher? Because having you know, when you lose something of value, man, you overturn everything and you enlist everybody to help you find it. Do you not? Let me share this story with you and we'll close. So I don't know, it may have been 10 years ago now. I don't know exactly how long, but we were vacationing with our best friends in Disney. And we were at the resort where we were staying. And I don't know, Owen may have been 7 at the time. He's 17 now. And it's amazing how he has aged and I've not. It's wild. It's like, wow, that's cool. Thank you, God. Faith would have been 5. And so we were on our way to the bus to go to one of the parks. And all of a sudden, we're walking towards the bus. And my friend says, stops, goes, where's Noah? And this was Owen's best friend, still is. They've been friends since preschool. Said, where's Noah? And all of us looked around, and there was like a little playground. There's a little playground to the right, and kind of looked there, and he was nowhere to be found. And so, it's hard to explain, but in that moment, like that, all of us spread, and we started searching, and we were yelling out his name. And you know what's amazing as I thought back on that? Is that we didn't get together and be like, well, hey, let's train on how you look for a lost 7-year-old, and let's make sure we get a little certification and that we know some of the steps 1, 2, and 3 that you take. You know what I also noticed? That none of us cared about our reputation. None of us cared about what anybody thought about us. We were going up to complete strangers. Not going, hey, how's your day going? Just, hey, okay. And then getting to it. We just went right into it. Like, hey, have you seen little boy about this tall, dark hair? Have you seen him anywhere? We were walking through yelling out his name. Why? Because the value of what was lost was very high. So the intensity of the search went just as high. And I just wonder if God the Father doesn't look down from heaven going, why aren't my kids so elevated in their search? Because what is lost is very valuable to me. That there are men and women and there are boys and girls that are far from God and don't know the love of Jesus. And maybe they have religion, but they've never felt the transforming power of the grace of the gospel of Christ. And I just wonder if God doesn't look at us as his church and go, can you increase the intensity level? Can you stop worrying about what people think about you? Can you stop worrying about how they may respond to you? Can you just go into the highways and the byways and drag people in? Why? Because the gospel matters. Because eternity is real. Because Jesus is the only way to the Father. And if we valued what was lost, maybe our search would be more intensified. And I'm praying today that something stirs on the inside of you. Because I believe if you'll value what is lost, you'll elevate your search. If you'll value in a fresh way your classmate that's lost, you'll up your search. If you'll evaluate that client, if you'll value that client a little bit more, then maybe you'll intensify your search. If you'll value the soul of that family member, maybe you'll intensify your search. Because we serve the Jesus that seeks. He's coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And we've been invited into the journey. We've been invited into the mission. And if I had to guess, as you've listened today, there's a face or a name that has come into your mind. Someone in your life that is close to you, but they're far from God. Maybe it's not a name, maybe it's many names. May this be the Easter that you bring them with you. May this be the Easter that a seed is planted or a seed is watered or God brings the harvest. Either way, may you be a carrier of the message. And we're going to believe God that your invitation this week is going to stir something in their heart They're going to be sitting with you 7 days from now. And as the gospel is given, that God will work in their life in a powerful way.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.